When I started the residency, I knew that I had to work with an indigenous population. I knew I had to work with the mangroves, so that was my human-non-human interface.
I feel that there's a lot that Karachi needs to connect with Manora, and of course Salehabad is very much part of that.
The coastal communities are basically the custodians of that natural resource that exists in coastal areas vis-a-vis. You have mangroves, you have fish.
We have art institutions, we have other institutions, and this is just around the corner. Why this gap?
I think there's a total disconnect with everything. There's immense fragmentation in the society. We are disconnected with each other.
It would be great to learn more about your experience working with people and what are the interesting experiences you got from them.
So we engage a number of methods like role play, like story building, narrative building, talking about various positions of the mangrove. The mangrove became the protagonist.
They also have a science curricula that says, and that curricula has a chapter that says, Timar ke jungle, but there are no teachers.
I'm wondering whether there are elements of this project and this approach as a participatory practice that could be almost taught, as you're developing these new pedagogies, taught to other practitioners, other architects working in mangroves in other cities around the world.
Within Karachi itself, we are so ignorant. I think it should become a very important part of the curriculum for all, for the adults as much as children. It's not just the children, but even the adults have no idea about it.
Hello and welcome to the Artistic Research Residency Podcast. In this series, we explore innovative projects developed during the residency, replay, reveries of an urban dreamland. The resident researchers designed novel interfaces for human and non-human interactions in the urban environment of Karachi. This Artistic Research Residency is a collaboration between the Institute of Business Management and Umbrellium, supported by the British Council.
Someone who is an architect, but now having second thoughts about the way architecture is being practiced. She's been sharing some fascinating insights during the residency. Please give a big round of applause to Sunila Ahmed.
Dr. Sunila Ahmed.
Yes, absolutely. She holds a doctorate in urban design, if I'm not wrong, urban design, yeah. And her book has recently been published by Rotlek. And we're going to watch her video, what she's been doing, and then we'll be discussing things with Sunila. Okay, so this was Sunila Ahmed's ongoing work on pedagogies, novel pedagogies. And she's been working at Salehabad with islanders there. So Sunila, over to you.
Thank you. So basically what you saw today is a video based on 3 days of engagement with the kids at Salehabad. So Salehabad is a fisherman's village next to Manora. It's an indigenous population, and we worked with the kids of class 6 from a secondary school in Salehabad. It's a government school. So the idea was actually, when I started the residency, I knew that I had to work with an indigenous population. I knew I had to work with the mangroves, so that was my human-non-human interface. And I knew that it had to be somewhere where it doesn't stop with this residency, it needs to be a longer engagement. So I approached ex-students of mine, who's sitting here in the audience, Rotaba Sayer, from Center of Arts-Based Methodologies and Well-Being, and she willingly came on board with her team, and we did these public art projects. The idea was also to talk about, develop pedagogies, ways of engaging with the students, which are fun, which are art-based, and which are long-lasting, and there is greater ownership there. So we engage a number of methods like role play, like story building, narrative building, talking about various positions of the mangrove. The mangrove became the protagonist, the who was telling us a story, and we were trying to connect with the mangrove. So we took the kids out of the school next to the mangrove site, and we worked with them over there. And we then eventually gave them some ownership, some agency, where the students were a part of this entire engagement, and they were all given one plant to take care of and be the you know, the curator for that plant in that long run. And what we then thought was that for taking this further, we wanted to document the process and then come together, bring it together in the form of some sort of a publication, which becomes a resource book for teachers who want to work with kids using art-based methodologies and how to engage with them. And then it is also it also has a user interface where we developed a connected web page and a QR code, etc.
Thank you, Srinila. Thank you, Srinila. What a fascinating project. To talk about this fascinating project, we have two special people who have been working on the coastal communities for a long time. And not just that, I would like to tell a bit about the guest speaker. So she comes from Hyderabad, Dakkan. As a little child, she used to play around under Molsi tree. And from there, her fascination has not limited and gone far and beyond to the coastal communities of Karachi. And she's been chief curator of Expo 2020. She's been doing fantastic work. And we are really honored. And it's a very special day for us that she has joined us. Please welcome Ms. Noorjahan Bilgrami. And Ms. Bilgrami will be joined by head of environment and energy at IOBM. He's been former Director General for Oceanography. Please welcome Dr. Shahid Amjad. Thank you. We've seen Sunila's work, and Sunila has been working on creative pedagogies, and Arif Saab mentioned that the reason why people are Generation Z is so conscious because they are taught what's going on about human, non-human worlds. You've been an educator yourself. You've been one of the founding members of Indus Valley. And the seeds have now grown into all of these people. They have one way or the other. They've been part of this journey. So what are your thoughts on the pedagogic practices and why coastal communities, trees, birds, plants, all of these have been so significant for you?
Shaheen, after the mujhe kahan par... He always does this, sort of puts me in a spot. After hearing Arif Saab and Abira and looking at your wonderful thing, I don't have the right words to say what you want me to say. Sunila has actually gone to the place which has caught my heart, and I feel that there's a lot that Karachi needs to connect with Manora, and of course Salehabad is very much part of that. And it's literally 15 minutes away. And so talking about all that you have been working, there's such a disconnect in our lives from everything that we are surrounded with. So to begin with, I'd like to thank you for this wonderful space, sitting under the neem trees immediately, and such beautiful neem trees. You rarely see them, and so healthy, brings you that connection with the non-human, human connection that completely snapped. And to begin with, what Arif Saab said, I think reflects where we are today and why we are today. Karachi and all of us are a microcosm of what is happening globally. And it really is painful to be sitting and talking about issues where literally, like they say, every 10 minutes, a child is going and you see lovely, healthy children, and what are we doing? So it's a very strange, again, a disconnect where we are and what we are doing and what is happening right there and our helplessness about it. But to see the joy on the faces by the simple intervention that you did shows that how just one exercise of taking color and paint, giving them that opportunity, connecting them with what they have, making them look at the mangroves where they're growing, it's all around them. But I think it's not that they have not looked at it, but there's somebody coming from the city who's making them look at it, because that has what has caught your eye. So I think this is a very interesting thing. Who is looking at what? And how do you, what kind of response are you looking? We are looking at what they've produced. How much are they doing for you? And what is happening? These are things that I think longer interventions and continuation of what you're doing will explain and will show where we are going our path. So, okay, what's your question?
Your question was like, my question was that you mentioned disconnect. Why do you think disconnect exists? Because we have art institutions, we have other institutions, and this is just around the corner. Why this gap?
I think there's a total disconnect with everything. There's immense fragmentation in the society. We are disconnected with each other. There's so many other pressures that have come in our lives. Awful WhatsApp, the mobile phones. We are all sitting in a space and completely disconnected with each other. There's no empathy. There's so much violence around. It's all leading and connected with each other. And so the disconnect is from the outside, the disconnect is inside, and
thank you for this part, disconnect, because Dr. Shahid Amjad has been talking about this disconnect in his papers and his research, and especially as director general of Institute of Oceanography. So why is this disconnect?
Well, and let me just briefly tell you about what we've been discussing and what Sunela has been talking about, coastal areas and the coastal communities. The coastal communities are basically the custodians of that natural resource that exists in coastal areas, vis-a-vis you have mangroves, you have fish where they breed. But these coastal communities, unfortunately, are the poorest of the poor. We've seen in the film, the snippets, the poorest of the poor. So they tend to over-exploit that resource because they need to survive. And for that reason, I've been working in Keti Bandar. This is where the Indus River meets the sea. And there are lots of mangroves. Mangroves provide us with products, and there are services that they offer. And when you over-exploit them, then it means trouble. So the coastal communities of Keti Bandar are basically either they are fishermen or they herd camels. And again, putting a constraint on the mangroves. So you know, we got around and we said, look, you know, can we develop an entrepreneurship for these people, for these communities, by training them and asking them to go collect seeds of mangroves, and the forest department will pay you for it, you know. And lo and behold, the communities there, the households there, now collect these mangrove seeds, and they get paid something like 50,000 to 100,000 per household per season. And that's a win-win situation. And then they plant it. So they become the owners of that that forest. And so looking at the other side, yes, they have now the financial resources, What do these communities do? You know, they buy mobile phones, they buy motorbikes, but very little on the education. There are two schools there, government-owned schools, but and they also have a science curricula that says, and that curricula has a chapter that says, you know, Timur ke jungle. Timur is mangrove, but there are no teachers. You know, there are hardly any teachers to teach them how to go forward. So this, in other words, you know, converting marginal communities who are poorest of the poor, you know, they have resources. Eventually, I feel that when there are enough resources, that they will be able to, you know, come back to the environment. They will preserve what they have. They will value it, and eventually will find a way forward. So I feel that this is a win-win situation, and this should cascade into other areas as well. Replicate this phenomena into other areas as well. There is this abject poverty in coastal areas, unfortunately. That's the way it is, but we need to take this forward.
Thank you. Thank you for your points. And Sunila, you have thoughts on this this point he's made and what Nurjahan has also mentioned, the disconnect plus lack of any resource guides for such issues?
Definitely there is a lack of curricula, and I think we should not just focus on the kids studying within Saliabad. It should perhaps be part of our larger curriculum as well, because all the kids within the city should know about the importance of the mangroves and the role it plays in the ecology of the city and how important it is. But having said that, I actually have a question for you. Because you spoke about the fishing communities exploiting the mangroves, but Tariq Sahab is not here today because obviously an unfortunate event. But we all know that there are very bigger forces also exploiting the mangroves. And I think what the exploitation happening from the communities is very minimal if we were to compare it. And I'll just briefly tell you an episode which we had with the kids over there. So we were, during our narrative building session, we were talking about, you know, how mangroves should, they should not be cutting the mangroves. So they would talk about, they would go home and talk to their parents. And when we went back the other day, so they came and told us that we told our parents that we should not cut mangroves, but they said we need it for burning for fire as firewood. But we told them that we should go for gas cylinders instead. And then they were telling the other kids, other friends, that you are still cutting down the mangroves, so tell your parents to switch to gas cylinders. So I think even if they, what I'm trying to say is that there is also lack of awareness there, and also the damage the communities are causing is, I think, much less than what the bigger forces and neoliberal paradigms are causing as such. So I think there need to be bigger strategies.
Thank
to
you for that,
that.
thing, but that's slightly a different spin to the win-win situation. Perhaps the win-win is not as win-win as it might appear to be. So Usman might have some thoughts on the global context with this, because there are certain case studies that exist.
Well, I'm interested because obviously around the world there are lots of cities that have mangroves near them. And I know that you yourself went on a bit of a journey through this project, having never worked on participatory practice before. And I'm wondering whether there are elements of this project and this approach as a participatory practice that could be almost taught, as you're developing these new pedagogies, taught to other practitioners, other architects working in mangroves in other cities around the world. I'd love anyone's thoughts on that.
Yes, I think it's a very important point to be taken forward, and that connection to be made with outside the country. But within Karachi itself, we are so ignorant. I think that needs to spread, like you said. It's not just I think it should become a very important part of the curriculum for all, for the adults as much as children. It's not just the children, but even the adults have no idea about it.
That's what a wonderful note, that even adults have no idea what's going on there.
And that's
why these novel pedagogies are needed. And I think we look forward to this project taking shape and going forward. And we're really, really grateful to Nurja Bilgrami and Dr. Shahid Amjad for joining us here. Very kind of you. And yeah.
What are you looking at as the outcome from here?
There's one of the publication that I've put together. So this is like a documentation and a kind of a booklet telling us about the different pedagogies and the different methods we engaged with in the at the site based on that. And then if you look at the back side of it, there is a QR code, which if you scan, you can actually go to the website. Where we have then linked it up to Tariq Alexander Kesser's work as well, and also to national curriculum development, international curriculum development around the mangroves, which is something happening worldwide. So these are larger connections we're trying to create, and then approaching schools and taking it further from there.
Excellent.
Thank you,
Sunila. And for those who want to check out the book, it's on the table, and there are a few initial prototypes there. So it'd be nice if you can have a look at it. Thank you once again, Nurja and Dr. Shahid Amjad. Thank you, Sunila.